scripture reading is Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. I'm reading from the NIV Bible. The title of Proverbs 3 is Wisdom Bestows Well-Being. Now, my son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on a tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring healing. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So the word of God. Thanks.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And as you're seated, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we give thanks for the word of God. God, you mold us, shape us, and transform us in the reading of Scripture. God, help us to never neglect to dive into your word so that you might meet us, so we might hear your voice, so you might call us into the life that you have laid out before us. We love you, we praise you, we honor you above all else. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We know this verse. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. We love a good straight path, don't we? Americans, we love efficiency, right? We love the idea of less time because less time means less energy and less energy means more productivity and more productivity means more. And we like more. As we read this passage, God is teaching us that when we trust in him, that we will receive a straight path. There's a series in this passage. If you open your Bibles and you look through this passage in Proverbs 1 or Proverbs 3, you will see a series of if then this statements, almost formulaic. If you do this, then the result or the promise will be this. That sounds pretty efficient. I kind of like that. Clear expectation with a clear deliverable goal, something that will be promised to us. We love efficiency. I just came back from Africa, and efficiency is not quite as high of a priority in Africa. The bishop over Africa, Bishop Kemba, he said, and I'm going to use this forever. He said, Americans, you love to keep time. Africans, we make time. And I think that's so good. I think it's so rich. But our passage today calls us to walk the straight path. The path that God makes straight for us. This passage gives us a series of promises. Hear these. You will have a prolonged and blessed life. Check. I'm good. I'm good with that. Give me that, God. You will have favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. That sounds pretty good. I like that. You will have a straight path. And you will have health to your body. All of those things seem like things that we desire and we want. If I preach just those things, this will be a Joel Osteen message. But that's not what Jesus, not what God is speaking, not what the wisdom writer is speaking. That there will, if you follow Jesus, then all prosperity will be given to you. That all health will be given to you. That all efficiency in life will be given to you. So what is he saying? What is he leaning into here? If we do all of the right things, will it result in the best way, in the best path? The last 2 weeks have been in Africa, like I said. And we went to do some really good work. We went with the conference, the Tanzanian conference, is we're partners in ministry. They recently established, last year they had their very first convening conference, and this was their first annual conference where they've really established a lot of the way in which they are doing things. And so we got to help them run a conference because they hadn't really ever done that before. We got to help them establish and get, we're hoping to get them partner churches here in the States. As they shared a little bit about them, I got to sit down with over 70 pastors and got to hear their stories and hear the things that make them tick and see the beautiful things that God is doing in their lives. And my goal now, a hard task, a challenge, will be to help connect them to churches here in the States so that they can have brothers and sisters in Christ that are not just helping financially, but are helping them, are walking with them in faith. What a beautiful thing that across the world, we can be partners in ministry, that we can grow each other's faith. Friends, we have much to offer the African church, but they have so much to offer us. The African church is so rich in faith. I can't wait to tell more stories about the beautiful things that God is doing in their midst. Stories that I hope will inspire us in the way that we live out our lives, the way that we understand church and the way that we pursue after God together. But as I was going, I've been praying this prayer that has been weaving itself in and out of our sermons, weaving itself in and out of my own walk with Christ. I've been asking the Lord these three things. God, help me to hear your voice. Help me to trust and obey the things that you call me to. And help me to eagerly anticipate your appearing, your movement, your action in the world. And praying this on our flight over there, we arrive into Dar es Salaam at 11 o'clock at night. And we're waiting there for our bags. And our bags never come. Everybody else leaves. It's like 12:30 at this point. We're exhausted, 30 hours of travel time, and our bags don't show up. Okay, we've done all the right things. This doesn't seem like a straight street here. Doesn't seem like a straight way that you're laying before us. As I'm reading these texts, if I do this, then you will make my path straight. Right? So we went back to the hotel. We're exhausted. Our bags won't come in until at least the next night. So that means that the next night, we have to come back at the same time that that flight came in. So we have to come back at midnight the next night to receive our bags. This is not going well as a trip so far. So we get there at 11:30 and the flight is delayed. So it's not going to come in until about 1 o'clock. So we just have to sit and wait. Not a straight path here, God. Efficiency is not working in our favor here, God. But God pulled me back to this prayer that I had been praying, that he had called me to pray. God, help me to hear your voice. Help me to trust and obey your wisdom. And help me to eagerly anticipate your appearing. And so me and Ben, who I'm traveling with, Ben is the conference secretary. He's the helper, the right-hand man to Jason Burnham, who's our conference superintendent. And we just prayed together. We're like, God, use this. I don't know what that looks like, but God, use this. We finally get our bags. And we think, okay, things are going to go well from here. So we walk up to the counter. And I began to think, God, how do you want to use this situation? And so I just said, Sante Yesu, which means thank you, Jesus, to the person across like the counter. And she looks at me with these big eyes and she goes, ooh, I like that. She says, are you born again? And I say, absolutely. Yes, I am. How about you? And what transpired from that moment was nothing less than a movement of the Spirit. She began to pour out her life story and how God has met her whenever she learned to read at the end of primary school. She began to read the Word of God. And God began to use her in powerful ways. He began to speak to her in dreams, true prophet kind of language. He began to speak to her in dreams. And these dreams that she receives from God are oftentimes for her friends. If her friends have problems, she regularly will say, "Give me a week and I'll fast and I'll pray. And God will give me a dream for you." She shared her faith. She shared her story. And I began to recognize, God, this, my desire for efficiency would have meant that I didn't get to have this interaction. So as we prayed together, as right there in the line at 1 o'clock in the morning, we got to pray together, held up the line behind us, but we were praying together, and God moved in a beautiful way in that time. Friends, our way of straight is not God's way of straight. The way in which we hope that things go the way that we desire them to go are not always the way that God desires for them to go. That's a very Western approach to straight. You see, when they would hear the word straight, they wouldn't think of a path going from point A to point B on a line. They wouldn't think linear, they would think clear. Because a straight path was one that oftentimes wound around the countryside of the hills of Israel. The straight path would be one that didn't have robbers that were going to meet them at every turn. The straight path would be one that wasn't obstructed by falling boulders that prohibited them from crossing. The straight path was the one that was prepared for them. Friends, oftentimes, when it is not straight for us, we need to begin to ask God, how do you want to use this? When it moves outside of our own way, our own path, our own desired direction, oftentimes that is the very place in which we have, when our wisdom stops and we begin to lean into and trust in His wisdom, we begin to see His path. We've been talking a lot about what it means to be a kingdom of priests and prophets, that we are all called to be part of a royal priesthood, to walk with God, to administer worship of God in the community, that we are to bring pockets of holiness, the temple of God, into the broken places of the world so that the Spirit of God might sanctify that space, whether that's your work or your family, your friend groups, your hobbies. God has called you and I as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to bring the presence of God into the world, to bring the sanctifying grace of God to the world. But what I recognized in that young woman that I met was that we are not just meant to be priests, but we are called to be prophets, prophets of the Most High. In Numbers chapter 11, Moses is leading the people of God through the wilderness. And as they are on the precipice of a real movement of God, he fills the people of God, the 70 elders in that space, with the presence of God, and they begin to prophesy. And Moses, he says these beautiful words, Numbers chapter 11, verse 29. Moses replied, let me skip forward. He says, "I wish, or I hope, that all of the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." His hope for the people of God, not that they would just be priests in the kingdom of God, but that they would be truly prophets. That when the Spirit of God is poured out on the people of God, when the Spirit of God is interacting with the people of God, they become prophets of God. You and I have been given the Spirit of God. We are called prophets of the Lord. God can take an uneducated young woman and begin to speak to her in dreams so that she might bring the voice of God into people's lives. When the people of God interact with the Spirit of God, they become prophets of God in the world. Paul talks about this idea, this concept of us being prophets of God. He talks about what it means for us to interact with the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he makes the argument that if the Spirit of God knows the mind of God and we are filled with the Spirit of God, then if we are walking in the Spirit of God, then we have the mind of Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Friends, if we are walking and living in our identity in the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God is present in our lives, which Scripture says that it is, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, then that means that we have the mind of Christ. We have his wisdom. This is a call for you and I to walk with the Lord. It is a constant intonation of the heart of God, of the mind of God, that in every place that we go, even if it's not the straight path that we desire, in every place that we go, we have the mind of Christ, and God desires to use us in those spaces to bring about his holiness in those broken places. Though it might not be straight for us, our call in all of those situations and circumstances is to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in every way. In all of our comings and goings, acknowledge his presence. Asante Jesu. It's all it took. Acknowledging his presence in that moment. And he began to do a work that I could not even begin to fathom or imagine. Simply acknowledging his presence. To trust in the Lord doesn't mean that he is going to tell us every step that we are to go in life. But trusting in the Lord is acknowledging the Lord's presence and purpose in every step that we take. Trusting the Lord is acknowledging that every step that we take, he is present and he has purpose for that step in our lives. For him to make a path straight before us means that he goes there before we ever get there. God knew exactly what was going to happen in that moment in the airport. Before I could have ever hoped or imagined, in fact, I wanted nothing to do with that airport at that time of night. But God had gone before in victory. He had already stepped foot in that place. Because when God makes a path straight, his presence meets us at the place he has called us to go. Before the conference started, there was a group of pastors that went ahead of us. And they took 21 of these pastors who were not even really pastors. They were lay supply pastors. So they're not ordained. They don't have education. They didn't go to seminary. They don't have a degree. They don't have credentials. But they felt a call to step into this space after they disaffiliated from the UMC there in Tanzania. They were oftentimes kicked out of their buildings, left without a pastor because a pastor had been bribed to stay with the church in the UMC. And so this people of God wandering in a kind of a desperate space with no place to worship. And somebody in the congregation stepped up and said, "All right, I'll do it. I'll lead. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not equipped to lead, but I'm going to lead." And so this group of pastors gathered together before conference to be trained. Some pastors from our conference met them there and trained them in a school of ministry situation. Taught them about the foundations of our faith and taught them about how to read scripture critically and how to teach and how to share their faith in evangelism. And this group of 21 pastors, lay pastors who had stepped up in a time of need in the life of the church, said, all right, can we put this stuff into practice? Can we like go and like just go out into the community and share our faith? And they were like, let's go do that. So this group of 21 pastors goes out into the area of Kigoma, trusting that the Lord will meet them ahead of time, trusting that the Lord, that if we trust and obey, if we follow the way that God calls us to go, as he's followed us every step up to this point, if we actually lean into this, then he's going to meet us in that space. So this group of 21 ill-equipped, faithful individuals go out and start asking people in the community who are shopping for their groceries, who are shopping in the market, can we pray for you? And what God begins to do in that space is truly spectacular. There was they told a story of two groups who were praying on either side of this woman, praying for other people. And this woman who was standing in the middle of them, just doing her shopping, began to feel a burning in her soul. She was a witch doctor in the community. And she felt so uncomfortable standing between these two people praying that she almost went into a place of paralysis where she couldn't move, couldn't think, that she just had a heat within her. When they finished praying for the people that they were praying for, she had a physical reaction to their presence. And they began to pray over her. And this woman, who was a witch doctor, became delivered from the evil spirits that were filling her life and gave her life to Christ on the spot. They told another story of a Muslim man who wanted to interact with them in faith and came to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Over 40 people gave their lives to Christ that day because 21 faithful, unequipped people stepped out in faith, stepped into the straight path that God was calling them to, and shared their faith and prayed over people. They weren't equipped to do that, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. They didn't have the words to say, but they trusted in the faith that God had called them to and the obedience to step into it. And you know what God did? He showed up. Because that's what God does. He goes before and makes our path straight. What can God do with a willing vessel? It's the same God that operated there in that space in Tanzania that operates in our space here in America. What can God do with a willing vessel? Church, if we embrace our identity as priests and prophets in the kingdom of God, if we learn to acknowledge him in all of our ways and say, in whatever space, in whatever circumstance, whatever place I am in, that this is a place that God's presence is, and this is a place that God desires to use me in, maybe then the better question is, what can't God do with a willing vessel? Friends, would you and I be those willing vessels in our context, in our culture? And let's get excited to see God show up in ways that we can't even begin to fathom or imagine. I have so many more stories to tell. I'm going to save them for other opportunities. But friends, God desires to see his kingdom built here in America, in Tanzania, and all across the world. Would we be the builders of that kingdom? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let's pray. God, we trust you. And even when we don't trust you, God, help us to trust you. Even when we're frustrated because things are not going the way that we hoped that they would go, or we find ourselves in a precarious situation, God, we trust that you have us there for a reason, that you are present there, and you want to use us there for your kingdom. God, we ask that you would forgive us for the times where we have failed to trust you, where we have leaned on our own wisdom, our own understanding, where we have sought our own health, our own way, our own truth. We have neglected yours. God, would you help us to, as we confess those, God, would you bring healing to our souls? Church, would you take a moment just to confess before the Lord? Would you take a moment just to lay down your own understanding of the world around you and to say, God, use me for your kingdom? Lord, hear our prayers.